now tuned in to the spiciest podcast in the world, live from your local Cash and Carry, the Notorious Gucci Podcast. Hand me some of that chutney.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another great edition of the Notorious Gucci Podcast, man. This is episode 125, 125 in your speakers, in your earphones, man, on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening to this, man. Episode 125, Notorious Gucci Podcast, man. I thank you guys for listening, thank you guys for rocking with me, man. 125, man, woo, man, we're getting through these. Yeah, episode 125, man, here we are. As always, I'm your host, your humble and gracious host, your host with the most, man. You're the boy with the most sauce, the boy with the most chutney, man. Sprinkle a bit of garam masala on top, man. The rotli to your sack, the khichdi to your kadi, the dal to your bhat, the samosa to your chutney, the gulab to your jamun, the dal to your tokri, man, the pao to your bhaji, man, the garam to your masala. I am the Notorious Gucci, aka Milanoza. Welcoming you to episode 125 of the Notorious Gucci Podcast. Man, we out here, man, and let's give you a quick update here on the weather-wise in the UK, man. It's getting cold outside, baby. It's getting cold outside, so make sure you guys are wrapping up warm, drinking your fluids, staying safe, staying healthy, man. Wearing your mask, keeping space, washing your hands, face, arse, all of that business, you know. And that's the weather-wise update here in the UK, so you just make sure you're wrapping up and things. In terms of this week, man, we've got quite a few bits to talk about. Obviously, been a quiet side on the single side of things. Only got two really big singles to talk about. The Game dropped a new track, and 50 dropped a new track as well, man. So the weaker G-Unit, if you want to say that. But yeah, we've got some albums, man. We've got some new projects from... we got some new projects from Juicy J with The Hustle Continues, Lil Wayne with his No Ceilings 3 mixtape, and AJ Tracy with Secure the Bag 2. We also got some new deluxe edition projects, one from Busta Rhymes and Jim Jones after a year and a half. We got that to talk about. We got some news to talk about, give you guys a Coronies update as well. And then we talk about the Grammy nominations, man. We're going to talk about that. What I've been watching this week, obviously, as well. And some gaming news, man. You know, we talk about some of the scalpers. Sackboy reviews. Some DLC for Cyberpunk 2077. And a new 007 game that has been announced. So, yeah, we've got all of that to talk about on this week's episode, man. So, it should be a relatively short episode. Let's get cracking without further to do, man. So, let's talk about the singles, man.
Hey, DJ, turn up the music.
Turn up the music. So, as I said, yeah, we only really got two big tracks this week, man. First off, we've got The Game, who drops a new track with Lil Wayne called AI with Braids. Now, The Game said... Born to Rap was his last album, and that's it. He's retiring from rap. So I'm very, very strange to see that. He's part of a new track. But I say strange, but you know, as I said, if you're a rapper, you never truly retire, man. There's always something going to pull you back. People may use the case of Joe Budden and things, but no, I think Joe will get in the booth whenever he's ready and whenever he needs to. But The Game said Born to Rap was his last album, and that is it. But here he comes with a new track with Lil Wayne called AI with Braids, and apparently this is going to land on a new project of his called Rules of the Game. So let's see, man. But you know, I'm always here for a game track. You know, he's one of my favorite MCs of all time, and so I'm always here for a new game track. This one with AI with Braids, dope track, man. And it just, you know, it says what it says on the tin, on the label, AI with Braids. He's saying that he's AI with Braids. Drops a plethora of NBA references, along with Lil Wayne as well, dropping a plethora of NBA references. Dope beat. Game also being a great rapper as well. Great track, man. Interested to see this new Rules of the Game project that he's bringing out. So, let's see how that goes. The Game with Lil Wayne, AI with Braids, dope track. 4 chilies out of 5 for me on the spice. I'm quite spicy, quite thickle indeed. And finally, man, 50 Cent, man. Yeah, another one of my favourite rappers of all time. He drops a new track, but this is actually the theme song of the upcoming Power Book 3, Raising Kanan, right? And this is the theme song of that. And this one is featuring NLE Chopper and Riley Reigns. And this is called Part of the Game, right? Samples a classic track there and just flips it. And I think it's a dope track, man. A dope little theme song to this new Power Book 3, you know, focusing on 50's character who was Kanan in the original Power. So yeah, man, this looks really dope. Dope track as well, man. Another one of those dear 50 theme songs that will probably take off, along with, you know, Big Rich Town, which took off tremendously. So I expect this to do the same. Yeah, man, a great track as well. It's good to hear from 50 after such a long time. So yeah, that's 50 Cent, NLE, Chopper, Riley Reigns, Part of the Game, which is a theme song of Power Book 3, Raising Kanan, which has got a release date of next year. It's got a quite a good lineup of, obviously, Joey Badass in there, and a few others. So yeah, man, be on the lookout for that. As for the track itself, dope track. 4 chilies out of 5 for me on the Spiceometer. So yeah, that is our singles, really, the big singles of this week. Let's move on to albums. And so let's start off with the deluxe editions that we got this week. So Busta Rhymes, he put out the Extinction Level Event 2, and then a few days later he put out the Reloaded version, right, which was, you know, some more tracks. And then now this week he's put out a deluxe version, which is basically the ultimate version, which has all the tracks from the original, all the tracks from the Reloaded, and adding 4 more new tracks to this deluxe version, right? So let's get into it. So the 4 new tracks come in the form of Czar, and that's featuring MOP and CJ, which is a remix. He's got track 8, Follow the Wave, featuring the Flip Mode Squad, right? Track 29, Blow a Million Racks, and track 30, Hey You, featuring Trillian. So this deluxe Extinction Level Event 2 album from Busta Rhymes clocks in at 30 songs, a whopping hour and 52 minutes long. So just under 2 hours, man, you know, going a Chris Brown route, man. Yeah, so this is the new wave now, right? You know, you put out an album, then, you know, a week or two later, or a month or two later, or even a year or two later, or in Bryson Tiller's case, 4 years later, you put out a you know, a deluxe version. And you know, it's just a way to get more streams, just a way to get more plays and things, and just a way to maybe, you know, for some of these artists, just to clean the slate, really, and just be like, look, I've got these songs I'm sitting on, might as well put them out, package them in the deluxe, so I'm getting rid of them. Or, you know, these Lucy's I put out, let's put them on there so we can get more streams. It's all a part of the streaming game, really, you know, getting more streams. That's what Chris Brown does with his albums, you know, puts 40, 50 songs on there, and just to get more streams, you know. So, can't blame anybody else, you know, anybody else doing that. However, we are in that day and age where, you know, people's attention spans aren't that long, you know, capped off at about 30, 40 minutes per project. I think 40 minutes is an ideal length, in my opinion, in this day and age. Obviously, I'm of the old school and I do like, you know, a bit of the lengthier side of things, but 40 minutes is at least minimum for me. I can tolerate the 30 to 35, you know, anything under that would be an EP or sorts to me, in my opinion. But, yeah, 4 new tracks on this Busta Rhymes Extinction Level Event 2 project, the deluxe. Yeah, it's 4 dope new tracks on there, or old tracks, whatever you want to say. And, you know, it's just 4 new tracks, or 4 additional tracks on an already great album. Doesn't really necessarily make it any greater, you know. It's not really any sort of new music or anything, nothing sort of that will elevate it. You know, but it's still, you know, just 4 new four, you know, additional tracks to an already great album. And these 4 tracks are good as well. So, you know, this is a thing. And one thing I will say is, you know, when I always emphasize the replay value. Now, when an album is good to me, right, an album is good to me, and I will sometimes have the urge to go back and visit it. However, when it's about nearly 2 hours or so long, I don't think I'll ever go back and revisit that album, you know. So, you remember I said that, you know, for me, for an album to be great, from good to great, or, you know, good to amazing, or to earn those 5 chilies for me, it has to be something that has replay value and I can revisit and still get that first feeling or pick up on new things. Now, in this case of Busta's project, right, yeah, I've listened to the project like 2 or 3 and like 2 times or something, you know, because it's still quite a lengthy project, right? And he's known for that. Great, fine. But that being said, I don't see myself going back and revisiting this project in the deluxe version, you know. You know, so that being said, again, this is not really gonna, you know, get the 5 chilies out of 5 ratings. Not really gonna push it into that great or amazing sort of stratosphere. However, four additional tracks for an already, you know, good album, and it will stay that way for me. So, Busta Rhymes Extinction Level Event 2, the deluxe version, four additional new tracks, means four chilies out of five for me on a Spice Scimitar. So yeah, it's quite spicy, quite thickle indeed. If you want to check out, you know, if you already checked out the project, man, if you already checked out the standard or the reloaded, just check out these four additional new tracks. If you haven't, then yeah, put this in there. If you haven't checked out the album at all, then yeah, just listen to the deluxe version. And yeah, you know, it's a good album, albeit very lengthy, but it's still a good album. Right, another gentleman who put out a deluxe version of his album was Jim Jones. Yes, Jim Jones put out the deluxe version of his album that he released last year, El Capo, a great album from Jimmy, one of his best albums in my opinion, right? So yeah, he doubles up, man, or he doubles up on it, and he actually puts out 15 new tracks on this deluxe version, right? So the original, if I'm not mistaken, I do have the original on here, Jim Jones, let's get to him. The original El Capo project had a total of 16 tracks, man, 58 minutes long. Now, no, 16 tracks, yeah, 16 tracks, 58 minutes or so long, and then now the deluxe has 15 more songs on there. Right, okay, this is where I, you know, as big of a fan I am of Jim and things, and, you know, really, you know, big fan of him and his music, I think Jim should have used these 15 tracks to make a new project, El Capo Part 2 or something like that, man. I don't feel like he should have packaged this into a deluxe, because 15 tracks, man, that's a lot. That's a lot. A deluxe to me would be adding 4 to maybe 6 tracks at max, right? 6 is the maximum in my opinion for a deluxe, right? But if you're adding 15 tracks, man, you might as well just sort of package that into a new album and just sold it off as a new album, in my opinion. It's one of the reasons I haven't downloaded this deluxe, even though it was, those 15 tracks were great. They were good. They were good. I wouldn't say great. I wouldn't say amazing. But yeah, they were good, right? But yeah, 15 tracks on a deluxe, man. No, man. That's not what, you know, that's not what a deluxe should be. It's not what a deluxe should be. I don't know why these artists are doing that. You know, 15 tracks is an album. That is an album. And this day and age, that could be 2 EPs, yeah, 2 EPs or a full album. That's how that this, you know, the 15 tracks should be used. Either 2 EPs or an album, right? So I'm disappointed. I'm not sure why Jim went this route of repackaging, you know, a great album that was El Capo, right? And just adding 15 more additional tracks to him, right? Even though those tracks were good, right? I just felt it was too much. Just like Busta's album, it's too much, man, you know. But in his case, he only added 4 new tracks, right? So, with that being said, yeah, you know, these 15 new tracks are good. They are good music from Jim, man. He's got, obviously, features from Mark Scabilla, who's, you know, all over the El Capo album, Jules Santana, Vado, Mano again makes his presence known, Dave East. You know, these are some of the individuals on there. Fred the Godson, the late great Fred the Godson, he's on there as well. Yeah, some good features on there. And you know, overall, yeah, just you know, just those 15 tracks, yeah, great, you know, good little sort of package, those 15 tracks just on their own. So if I'm just rating those 15 tracks on its own, I'm gonna rate him as its own album, in my opinion, right? If I rate him as his own album, 4 chilies out of 5 for me on the Spice Scimitar. But adding these into the El Capo album, it will bring the score down for me. So I'm not gonna, you know, shit on Jim or anything like that, because I'm a big fan of him, right? So I'm just talking about these 15 tracks on this El Capo Deluxe. I'm using, you know, considering it as its own project, like El Capo Part 2, potentially, that's what I'm saying it as. Yeah, 4 chilies out of 5 for me on a Spice Monster. But I just wish that, going forward, artists know that adding 15 or, you know, more than 6 tracks to a deluxe version of an album, no, it's not what a deluxe should mean, in my opinion. right? That should be used as a new project in itself. Just like, you know, Chris Brown does. I say the same thing with Chris. You know, Indigo was like 40, 42 tracks. He added like a new 18 tracks and he made it 60 tracks. Bro, use them as a different album, man. Use it as a different album or a mixtape or something, man. At least just one of those things. Don't slam it in there, you know, as a deluxe version of an album when the album's already over 2 hours, hour and a half, already over that hour limit or so. Because with these 15 additional tracks on this El Capo album, this brings the project 31 tracks, an hour and 44 minutes long. It's just under 2 hours, man. Again, you know, it's a lengthy listen, a very lengthy listen. And in this day and age, you know, I know, you know, the Young Gunners and things, man, yeah, their attention span isn't that long. 40 minutes, 45 minutes maybe, that's it. Cut it off, that's it. Apart from that, too long, man, too long. Right, yeah, so those are your deluxe versions of some projects this week. Let's talk about some new projects, man. And starting things off, we've got Sir J of the Juice, and that is Juicy J. He drops his new project, The Hustle Continues, right? And I'll just bring this album up right now. Yep, The Hustle Continues, 16 tracks. We've got features from Wiz Khalifa on the previously released Goddamn High, Lil Baby and 2 Chainz of track 3, Spend It, ASAP Rocky on Pull Up, Conway the Machine on track 5, Killer, That's the Way It Goes featuring Key Glock on track 6, Young Dolph on Shopping Spree on track 7, Logic on track 8, 1995 and track 10, Shorty Bad, NLE Chopper on the previously released Load It Up, She Gon Pop It with Meg Stallion and Ty Dolla Sign, track 12, Memphis to LA with J Rock and Project Pat on track 13, and yeah, and then Juicy goes solo dolo for the remainder. So again, we've got what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 11 tracks, 11 feature tracks, and 5 single solo tracks from Juicy on there, and 16 tracks, 47 minutes or so long. Not bad, quite a concise sort of package there. Now, for the album itself, I think Juicy came out the gate swinging with the first track, Best Group. I think I've never heard Juicy rap like that in quite some time, man. Taking me back to the 3-6 Mafia days. Woo, he came out the gate swinging. He was spitting bars left, right and centre and, you know, rapping his ass off. I was like, shit, okay. It's been a while since I heard that from Juicy, man. So I was really digging that first track, Best Group, man. Going into track two, you know, that track that I gave, you know, the Stinks rating, man, that absolute Dutty Bodra sort of track, man. I still say that is the case. I really do not like that track. And then going into track 3, Spend It with Lil Baby and 2 Chainz, a great track, man, one of the highlights of the album. Track 4, Pull Up with ASAP Rocky, another highlight of the album, where they talk about the people that have left us. So a bit of a deep felt emotional sort of track there. Which, you know, I'm not really inclined to hear from Juicy, for, you know. But yeah, so I was a big fan of that. Killer with Conway as well. Conway doing his shit on there as well. So it's only made sense that Juicy did his shit as well. After that, you know, the tracks in between from track 6, probably to what, track 15, really. They're all a bit of mid. I didn't like that, you know, Loaded Up track that much either. I think I gave that 3 chilies in my opinion, but yeah, it's just a bit of mid. Tracks with Logic, Young Dolph, Key Glock, even the track with Meg and Ty Dolla Sign, She Gon Pop It. Yeah, you know, these are all a bit of mid tracks to me, man. You know, your standard sort of Juicy tracks there. And then I think the only last track I liked was, the last track, I Can't Stop. That's it, really. So for me, this album had, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 good tracks out of 16. You know, 5 out of 16 tracks, man. So, you know, hitting an average of just about 31% or so, man. With that being said, Juicy is a legend in the game. You know, he's been doing this shit for a very long time, 20 plus years. Now he's transitioning into the production side of things and producing people's albums, such as Meg Thee Stallion and, you know, and others. So he has ventured into that, but, you know, he still dabbles in the rap game. And you know what? You know, he's already, you know, made himself you know, a presence and, you know, an icon and a legend, you know, in the game, as many people will attest to. So with that being said, you know, you know, when I listen to a Juicy J project now, or when I hear that a new Juicy J project is coming, you know, I kind of go into it with expectations that it's just going to be your standard sort of Juicy track with a few things, you know, branched out here and there. But this one did surprise me with that first track of him, as I said, rapping his ass off, coming out of the gate firing and stuff. It's been a long time since I heard from Juicy like that, like in the 3-6 Mafia days, right? That takes me back. So that was great to see. And a few, you know, a few standouts from the album. But, you know, that's it, man. Just a handful, really. A handful of tracks from this album. And that's okay. That's okay with a man from Juicy's stature. His tenure in the game, that's okay for me, man. And I'm sure that's okay with a lot of other people in the game, right? You know, if Jay was to put out a track in an album, you know, with 16 tracks, but only a handful of them, I'd be like, all right, man, this is cool. You know, a handful of tracks out of this album, just give me those, I'm cool with that. You know, it's not going to tarnish his discography or his legacy and things, and the same goes for Juicy. But if I'm rating this album as a whole, yeah, it's a pile of mid. It's more of a pile of mid than it is, you know, tickle, you know, spicy. So with that being said, Juicy J's new album, The Hustle Continues. 3 chilies out of 5 for me on the Spiceometer. A bit of mid there for me, man, as a whole. But some standout tracks there with Best Group, Spend It, Pow Up, Killer, and I Can't Stop, man. But yeah, shouts out to Juicy, man. Shouts out to everyone on there. And yeah, you know, he's a legend. He's an icon, a legend. So yeah, shouts out Sir J of the Juice there. Right, Lil Wayne, he put out a new project exclusively on Dat Piff, man. So this is taking me back, man. Lil Wayne puts out a new project titled No Ceilings 3, the sequel to No Ceilings 2. Exclusively, the full project exclusively on Dat Piff. Except the track with Drake is you're able to stream that on your streaming services. Right, but the whole project, if you want to listen to the project in its whole entirety, is only on Dat Piff. And this takes you back, man. This takes me back, because this is a classic mixtape, man. And you know, Wayne staying true and authentic again, you know, releasing it on Dat Piff, which is, you know, the mixtape, you know, what's the mixtape, you know, vault, right? And you know, and you No Ceilings 3, you know, and you know, a mixtape, you know, back in the old days, a mixtape was tracks that were already released, or some hot tracks, and you know, you freestyling over them, and you know, just you know, those were what comprised mixtapes, man. And you know, those actually brought some of the most greatest tracks ever, right? And you know, some standouts, some classics, man. Like, you know, if I were to say, you know, Fab, right? You know, the Soul Tapes classic series. You had 50 Cent, man, with 50 Cent the Future and Guess Who's Back and G-Unit Radio, and you know, you had things like that. You had Tory Lanez with the Chicks tape. You had, you know, Fab with Friday Night, and was it Friday Night Freestyles and things. So, man, it's just great. You had, like, yeah, you know, people back in the day used to Joe with Mood Music and things, you know, and you had people back in the day just jumping on other beats and just freestyling it and stuff, which was great. So that was really good, man. It really took me back to my old days, you know, listening to this project. Here, Wayne uses some, you know, recently released, you know, tracks such as, you know, Drake's Laugh Now, Cry Later with something different, like, you know, the Life Is Good track with him and Future. Use a classic Jay-Z track there with the Takeover on track 3, Lamar. What else, you know, he used a few others. He used Sicko Mode as well, where, you know, his son was rapping on there, Young Cam Carter, which is pretty dope, man. Yeah, man, so that was great. So Wayne using some, you know, previously released beats out there and just rapping on them, you know, giving you that, you know, authentic sort of mixtape sort of sound, mixtape sort of vibe, right? Yeah, man, and this project as a whole is great, man. I did like it. I really did enjoy listening to it. Straight from the track V8, man. Yeah, I loved that. And then the BB King freestyle with Drake. I think Wayne smoked that, man. Even though Drake comes on first and he starts rapping and does his shit, I think Wayne smoked that track, man. I think Drake definitely makes Wayne step up his rapping, his pen, because yeah, like after Drake, you know, did his verse and stuff, and Wayne came on and Wayne started rapping, man, and you know, just the length he was going on for and shit, man. Wow, man, like I was like, damn, man, this ain't had this Wayne in some time, man, and this is mixtape Wayne, and yeah, man, it was dope. It was dope. One of the standouts. Yeah, track 3, Lamar using the Takeover, a classic beat, you know, Wayne rapping on there as well, that was great. Even Something Different, you know, where he uses Drake's Laugh Now Cry Later was good. Even Life Is Good was, you know, that Wayne's freestyle on there was also very good. We got features on there from Young Thug, obviously Drake as well, obviously he's got a gutter, he's featured, you know, Corey Gunn, some of the Young Money crew as well. Then obviously he features his sons, Young Carter and Cam Carter, which was really dope. Really dope to see. Yeah, as a whole, Lil Wayne, No Ceilings 3 is a dope project. Really dope project. So, you know, if you're looking for those classic mixtape vibes to take you back and remind you what a mixtape truly was, man, you know, my OGs and things, you know, they can relate. Man, and for those of you who, you know, you've really never had that feeling of a, you know, a classic mixtape or things like that, go check this out, because this will, you know, this will, you know, influence you guys hopefully to go check out, you know, these classic mixtapes or these artists back in the day, you know, Wayne with Dedication, you know, his Dedication series and things, or you know, Fab with the Soul Tapes, or Troy with the Chicks tapes and things, you know, of rappers and artists just rapping over, you know, classic beats, or you know, or you know, previously released beats and things. So yeah, great. So definitely on that note, yeah, this was great nostalgic effort from Wayne, man, and I salute him. DJ Khaled hosts a mixtape, so it's been a while since we heard DJ Khaled on a mixtape vibe, and you know, he does his business on there as well, classic DJ Khaled fashion. Yeah, man, shouts out to Wayne on this, exclusively streaming on DatPiff, the whole mixtape. BB King freestyle, that solo track is available on your DSPs, right? But if you want to listen to the whole No Ceilings 3 mixtape, that is exclusively on DatPiff, so make sure you guys go check that out. 4 chilies out of 5 for me on the Spiceometer for Lil Wayne with No Ceilings 3. Quite spicy, quite the cool indeed. Make sure you guys go check that out. And last but not least, man, you know, what I can't talk about, you know, new music without talking about, you know, new music from where I'm from the UK. You know, from Ladbroke Grove specifically, you know, I'm talking about my guy, AJ Tracy. He dropped the sequel to his Secure the Bag EP, which he dropped back in 2017. This one obviously titled Secure the Bag 2. We got features on here from Swoosh God and Sloan Evans on track 2, Slow Tie on track 4, and then AJ goes solo dolo for the remainder of the track. So this Secure the Bag 2, 9 songs, 28 minutes or so long, right? Only 2 features, so 7 tracks where he goes solo, and he smokes it, man. Again, AJ is one of those guys who are probably my out of the new batch of rappers. Him and Dave are my, you know, my favorites. Him, Dave, Mist, M Hunt, you know, M Huntro at some points. You know, these are artists from this new bag that you know, I am very keen on, a very big fan of. AJ and Dave in particular. Definitely, AJ, Dave and Mist in particular, really. Yeah, so this new Secure the Bag 2 project, mixtape, EP, whatever you want to call it, man, great from AJ, man, classic AJ vibes, you know, mix it in with some Japanese sort of anime sort of, you know, themes in there as well. You know, I'm not too up on my Japanese anime and things, but you know, I can certainly feel the influence and things on that, especially with the cover art and stuff as well. Yeah, so this is this was really dope from AJ, man. Great to follow up from his album that he released last year, you know, his self-titled album that he released last year. And yeah, man, you know, shouts out to AJ, man. I'm really, really digging it, man. For me, standouts, Yumiko, Graveyard Shift, Colombiana, Hikomori, yeah, these are some of the highlights, but front to back, great project from AJ. I can listen to it for days. Been, you know, listening to it on repeat these last few days as well. Great project there, man. And just to keep doing what he's doing, man, he's killing it. He's definitely killing it, man. One of the new up and comers there. So yeah, shouts out AJ Tracy, man, with his new Secure the Bag 2, man. 5 chilies out of 5 for me on the Spiceometer, man. You already Know the fucking vibes.
You know the fucking vibes?
5 chilies out of 5, man. Hit that drop.
Ooh, spicy.
Bow spicy. Bow tickle, man. Ek dum tickle. And what would an ek dum tickle spicy, you know, project be without my guy, Mr. Ooh Wee himself? Hit that shit. Yes, sir. Ooh, we indeed, man. So that's AJ Tracy with that bold, spicy, bold, tickle, ek dum tickle project there, mixtape there with Secure the Bag 2. Shout out to him and everybody involved in that, man. Make sure you guys go check that out right now. Right. Now, let's get into some news, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get into some news.
You seen the news, bro?
Yeah, we seen the news, man. So we just today, Wednesday, the 2nd of December, we have come out of this 4-week national lockdown. We are going back into the tier systems, you know, tier 1, 2 and 3. So, you know, majority of the country is placed into tier 2, with some parts up north placed into tier 3, Manchester, Lancaster, Birmingham, etc. Right, so obviously, if you want to find out what tier you guys are in, you're in the UK, what tier your area is in, then also you can go onto BBC, and I think you can go onto the Gov website as well, and they will list your area by county, and to see what tier you guys are in. New rules have been announced for December 23rd to December 28th, I believe, right? Where there's going to be some sort of easing of these rules, you know, over the Christmas period. And these rules are that you are able to mix with up to 3 households, right? No more than 3, and form a quote-unquote Christmas bubble, right? With your loved ones or friends and family, right? So up to 3 households, right? However, they're still saying that you shouldn't hug your, you know, your grandma, your grandparents and things. So I'm really not sure how that's going to work. To me, if you know, in my personal opinion, you know, I wouldn't have these rules in place. I would, you know, maintain the restrictions that we have currently right now about the tier system and not mixing indoors or outdoors and things. Obviously, it's a time for Christmas. Everybody's going to be indoors. So, you know, a lot of people have said, and I agree with them, that, you know, let's give Christmas a miss this year, right? And, you know, so we can be, you know, ready to go for next year, man. But, you know, obviously, that's not the case. And that will never be the case, right? And I won't talk too much on that. But, yeah, talking about the rules. So over the 23rd to 28th, so that 4-day period, that is, you know, you'll be able to mix with up to 3 households, right? And, you know, your friends and family, and form this Christmas bubble, right? So although I disagree with that, you know, there's obviously no stopping it. So yeah, you know, that's really just all the news I want to say. If you're gonna do it, then you know what more else can I say? I mean, just just enjoy, really, if you want to, I guess. But mark my words, I tell you this, by the time January rolls around, we're going to probably be back in another national lockdown. So, because people are going to go crazy over Christmas, definitely, you know, with restrictions lifted today, you know, with non-essential retail and things opening, people are going to go crazy anyway. So this month, people are going to go just absolute, you know, berserk and crazy, you know, whether it be on the high street, in shopping centres or whatnot, at houses and families. Might just bear in mind that we are going to pay the brunt of this back in January, man. When comes January, we're going to pay the brunt of this. And that brunt may be that we're going to go back into another national lockdown. So, yeah, that's all I really got to say about that. You know, obviously we got news today that the UK has approved the first COVID-19 vaccine from Pfizer and BioNTech, and they're going to start rolling that out as soon as next week. Yeah, okay, right. For someone who works in the pharma industry, yeah, I'm not too hopeful of them rolling it out next week anyway, right? And this is just the first vaccine that has been developed. I haven't really talked about this vaccine news on it because it's all been, you know, I don't want to mislead the people, and you know, by no means am I doing that now. I'm just reporting what the news has reported, but you know, news can be misleading as well. But from a man of science, from a scientist, a personal, you know, scientist myself who works in the pharma industry, I do believe that the government is just desperate and, you know, looking to roll out anything they can get their hands on. And just because this was approved, they want to start rolling it out immediately. However, we still don't know the long-term effects of this. Plus, they only tested 40,000 people, which is a small drop in a big ass lake, really. And not even tested that many populations, you know, age groups and, you know, ethnicities and things. And, you know, going forth, more vaccines are going to be rolled out, more effective vaccines. This only has 95% effectiveness, but who knows, in a few months' time, we can get one which is 97, 98. But by that time, if people have already taken this vaccine, what's going to happen? All right? I don't know, you know. So, I'm very skeptical on, you know, this whole vaccine sort of business. You know, a drug, you know, a vaccine, I always say, is very similar to a drug. A drug takes, you know, on average 10 to 12 years to be developed and hit the market, and yet they put out a vaccine in a space of, what, 8-9 months? Yes, I know that they've dumped a lot of resources and money into it, but still, these are things you shouldn't really rush, in my opinion. But, you know, I'm not going to dive too deep into that, because obviously I'll be coming from a scientific perspective, from, you know, my field. And I have my own reservations and my own personal opinions about that, you know, about this vaccine and this whole vaccine business. But all I say to any people, you know, that are thinking of taking this vaccine and things, then, you know, just you know, don't take anything in haste. Don't sign your family members up in haste. Do your research properly. Look at if you really need it, if your family really needs it, if they, you know, they are on this priority list that you know, the government have put out. You know, just do take some careful deliberation before, you know, go rolling full steam ahead into this, right? As you know, the priority list will obviously, you know, prioritize the the at-risk, the elderly, you know, in care homes with underlying medical conditions and so, right? I do not believe that people of, you know, my age, you know, late 20s and below that, or even up to the 40s and 50s, I don't believe that, you know, they should be taking this vaccine yet. And we won't, you know, these age groups won't be inoculated, won't be vaccinated, you know, until maybe 2022 at best, especially the lower age groups. I do not believe that, right? As I said, just, you know, do your research, think about it carefully, to have some careful deliberations on that, and, you know, don't do anything in haste. Remember, this is just the first of many vaccines to be rolled out, right? And the government is coming, you know, becoming desperate, you know, and they're trying to, you know, show that, they, you know, they're handling the situation and things. That's why, you know, they've made a rally for this, right? So just bear that in mind. You know, there will be more vaccines coming out in the future, in the next few months, you know, which probably may have, you know, and will have more effectiveness than this, you know, Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. And that is speaking from a man of science, you know, who works in the scientific industry. So if you can choose to believe me or not, that's up to you, right? But just a thought to have, really. Right, let's talk about one of the biggest news of this week. We had the Grammy nominations, man. Yeah, we did have the Grammy nominations. So, the 62nd Annual Recording Academy Awards, right? Let's get into this. So, let's bring this information up, man. The Grammys. Alright, man, let's get into this. The 63rd Annual Grammy nominations. Right, so these will take place on January 31st. And it was just announced just over last week. You know, they've really revealed this year's nominations. Now, I'm going to read out the nominations first, and then I'm going to tell you what I think, right, and all the hubbub that has gone around in the music industry over this last week. Right, So, let's go into the nominations. Album of the Year. We have Jhené Aiko with Shalumbo, Black Pumas with Black Pumas, Coldplay Everyday Life, Jacob Collier with Jesse Volume 3, Chaim with Women in Music Part 3, Dua Lipa with Future Nostalgia, Post Malone with Hollywood's Bleeding, and Taylor Swift with Bulk Law. So really, out of what I cover, the music I cover, or you know, hip hop, rap, R&B, and stuff, you know, the most streamed genre, you know, in the US and potentially all over the world, really, we only have what Jhené with Shalumbo and Post Malone with Hollywood's Bleeding, two albums in the contention from Album of the Year. Moving on, Record of the Year: Beyoncé with Black Parade, Black Pumas with Colors, DaBaby and Roddy Ricch with Rockstar, Doja Cat with Say So, Billie Eilish with Everything I Wanted, Dua Lipa with Don't Start Now, Post Malone with Circles, and Meg Thee Stallion and Beyoncé with a Savage remix. So again, Beyoncé, DaBaby, Doja Cat, Post, right? Yeah, Beyoncé, DaBaby, Doja Cat, Post, and Meg. Five records on there in the Record of the Year, man. Fair enough. Song of the Year: Beyoncé again with Black Parade, Roddy Ricch with The Box, Taylor Swift with Cardigan, Post Malone with Circles, Dua Lipa with Don't Start Now, Billie Eilish with Everything I Wanted, Her with I Can't Breathe, JP Sachs and Julia Michaels with If the World Was Ending. Best Rap Album: D-Smoke, Black Habits, Freddie Gibbs and Alchemist with Alfredo, Jay Electronica and Jay-Z with A Written Testimony, Nas and Hit-Boy with King's Disease, and Royce da 5'9 with Allegory, man. Big shout out to Royce, really happy for him for notching that. Best Rap Song: Lil Baby, The Bigger Picture, Roddy Ricch, The Box, Drake and Lil Durk, Laugh Now, Cry Later, DaBaby with Roddy Ricch with Rockstar, Meg Thee Stallion and Beyoncé with The Savage Remix. Best Rap Performance: Big Sean, Nipsey Hussle with Deep Reverence, DaBaby with Bop, Jack Harlow with What's Poppin', Lil Baby the Bigger Picture, Meg Thee Stallion with Beyoncé with The Savage Remix, Pop Smoke with Dior. Best Melodic Rap Performance: DaBaby, Roddy Ricch, Rockstar, Drake and Lil Durk with Laugh Now Cry Later, Anderson Paak with Lockdown, Roddy Ricch with The Box, Travis Scott with Highest in the Room. Best R&B Album: Aunt Clemens with Happy to Be Here, Giveon with Take Time, Luke James, To Feel the Love / D, To Feel Love or To Feel Loved, I believe that's called, John Legend with Bigger Love, Gregory Porter with All Rise. Best Progressive R&B Album: Jhené Aiko with Shalumbo, Chloe and Howe with Ungodly Hour, Freed Nationals with The Freed Nationals, Robert Glasper with Fighting Your Feelings, and Thundercat with It Is What It Is. Best R&B Song: Robert Glasper, Her, and Michelle, I'm not going to attempt to pronounce the last name, but the track is called Better Than I Imagine. Beyoncé with Black Parade, Tiana Major 9 and Earth Gang with Collide, Chloe and Howe would Do It, Skip Marley and Her with Slow Down. Best R&B Performance: Jhené Aiko and John Legend, Lightning and Thunder, Beyoncé with Black Parade, Jacob Collier, Mahalia and Ty Dolla $ign with All I Need, Brittany Howard with Goathead, Emily King with See Me. Best Music Video: Beyoncé with Brown Skin Girl, Future and Drake with Life is Good, Anderson Paak with Lockdown, Woodkid with Goliath and Harry Styles with Adore You. Best New Artist: Ingrid Andress, Phoebe Bridgers, Chika, Noah Cyrus, D-Smoke, Doja Cat, Kate Renata and Meg Thee Stallion. So those are your nominations for the 63rd Grammy Awards. Now, there are some nominations there which I'm not mad at, i.e. Record of the Year, Song of the Year, potentially. You know, there are some categories there which I'm not mad at, but majority of the categories, they're all a bunch of dutty, man, all a bunch of trash, all a bunch of bodra, man. The amount of snubs in this year's nominations were ever so ever so evident, right? Ever so prevalent, man. Man, the amount of snubs on here, for surprises, the biggest snub of all would have to be The Weeknd with his project After Hours. I think the biggest one is one of the year's top selling albums. Now, whether this is by choice or not, we don't know, because in the past artists have refused to submit their albums or projects of music to the Recording Academy to be acknowledged by them. You know, Drake did it with Scorpion. I think Frank Ocean did it a few years back. It could be the case, but after what The Weeknd said afterwards, I don't think this was the case. He did go on blast to say that, you know, one of the top selling albums, one of the, you know, the number one charting songs with Blinding Lights, that was not recognized in any of these categories, you know, best song of the year and things. So I do think that The Weeknd did submit his project to be considered, and it wasn't just not considered. The bullshit excuse that the Recording Academy came out with is that he was in discussions with to perform at the Grammys at the time, also to perform at the Super Bowl, and he was advised that if he took the Super Bowl performance, he would not be performing at the Grammys, or he would not be getting a nomination from there. Which I think is absolutely bullshit, because you can perform at two, you know, both of the shows. No, like what's the issue with that? I really don't understand. Obviously, Weeknd felt the same as well on that. He really felt the same on that, and I don't blame him. I don't blame him. So one of the biggest snubs was The Weeknd. A few other snubs: Lil Baby with The Bigger Picture. 100%, you know, his album not being considered in there. Roddy Ricch, Please Excuse Me for Being Antisocial. That album was not in there. The late, great Pop Smoke, his album was not in there. Shoot for the Stars, Aim for the Moon. Juice WRLD's Posthumous Project was not in there. Mac Miller's, Swimming in Circles. Was it Swimming in Circles? It's not in there either. Who else is there? Let me go back through my library to see what albums should have been in there. Let me go back through. No Griselda mentioned in there. I don't know why. When they had the killer year that they had. Popcorn wasn't already in there. You know, with the Fix Tape, Burna Boy, Eva with Twice as Tall. Who else is there? Boldly James and The Alchemist, you know, they weren't in there. 21 and Metro, they also were not there. Now I don't know if that's because of the cutoff date or not, but some of these projects, man, some of the greater projects of this year, over the last year or so, you know, they're not obviously in there either. It just makes me, that Lewis Pack, those two singles, those two songs from J. Cole, none of those songs in there either. Just a lot of snubs, you know, with Lil Baby, Roddy Ricch, Weeknd being the biggest, and a few others in my opinion. I will say shout out to Freddie Gibbs and Alchemist with Alfredo. That definitely is, you know, is one of the best albums of this year, and you know, really happy for them. Royce as well with The Allegory, really happy for him as well. Apart from that, man, yeah. I think J. Cole said it best, man, at one of his shows. He held up a sign where it says, fuck the Grammys, right? And he said that from year on and year out, even, you know, over the last few years, he said that, you know, even though they're giving, you know, awards to some of the members of the hip-hop and R&B and rap community, the Grammy board are always not going to get it right. And they'll never, ever, ever really all get it 100% right. Especially from, you know, people who are in the Recording Academy board and things. I mean, they don't acknowledge, you know, how big hip-hop, rap, R&B is, you know, globally. Drake also, you know, speaking of Drake, you know, he actually put out a really good a post about, you know, these nominations short after they were announced. And I just want to read that. I want to read that if I can find it, right? If I can find that, so let's see if I can find that great post that he put out. I have to go to my guy. Shouts out Elliot Wilson, man. You know, he's the guy I go to for, you know, to stay up to date on what's going on. Right, Drake. Do bear with me, man. Elliot posts a lot. Right, who said that? Right, boy, just so while we're looking for that, Boy Wonder said to, you know, in the defense of The Weeknd, you know, him being snubbed, your musical run in 2020 was one of the few bright spots that this crazy world brought us this year. It's sad to see it being overlooked, but at the end of the day, no award will define what you've done and continue to do for the city, much less the whole world. That was Boy Wonder on The Weeknd. Right, let's see. Let's go forward more. Right, the weekend. So obviously he says collaboratively planning a performance for weeks to not be invited. In my opinion, zero nominations means you're not invited. Right. A few other tweets of weekend said the Grammys remain corrupt. You owe me, my fans, and the industry parents transparency. What else is there? The Weeknd did every single big thing you can think of and with high artistic integrity and creativity. How did the Grammys just act like he didn't exist this year? I don't get it. Alright. So some more people coming out in support of that. Nicki Minaj also tweeted saying, never forget the Grammys didn't give me my Best New Artist Award when I had 7 songs simultaneously charting on a Billboard and bigger first week than any female rapper in the last decade. Went on to inspire a generation. They gave it to the white man Bon Iver. She released that on the 10th anniversary of Pink Friday, right? Whoever's making the decisions at the Grammys, you are all disconnected like a motherfucker. You don't speak for our culture. Congrats to all the nominees. But my album of the year would be, was it My Turn? Sorry, My Turn from Little Baby, not My Bigger Picture. That's the name of the track. We can receive 0 nominations for his 21. For the 2021 Grammys, his Blinding Lights is the biggest chart hit of the year, right? What else? All right, let's keep going. Right, wait, if I can find this Drake post, I hope I can. Do bear with me, I may not be able to find it. Maybe I'm just overlooking it, who knows. Alright, hold on, maybe I've gone past it. Drake. Do bear with me. Right, here we go, I found it. Sorry for that. Right, so Drake went on to post just about a week ago when these nominations were announced that... Right, I think we should stop allowing ourselves to be shocked every year by the disconnect between impactful music and these awards, and just accept that what once was the highest form of recognition may no longer matter to the artists that exist now and the ones that come after. It's like a relative you keep expecting to fix up, but they just can't change their ways. The other day, I said The Weeknd was a lock for either album or song of the year, along with countless other reasonable assumptions, and it just never goes that way. This is a great time for somebody to start something new that we can build up over time and pass on to the generations to come. A great notion from Drake there. A great notion from him about starting something new and what once was the highest form of recognition. It's no longer that. Now I'm not sure if if these people are, Drake speaking from this because he's already won himself a Grammy, right? He just doesn't care now if he wins another one or not. I'm not saying that's how he felt, but I don't know. For someone who's already won, one of the most prestigious awards, or quote unquote the most prestigious awards of the industry, and you're content with that, maybe you put out a statement like that, but who knows. But I do agree with that, this should not influence people's mind to say that this is the highest form of recognition. I know a lot of people rap it in their raps, a lot of people, talk about it in their raps and things, and they mention it, Grammy nominated this, that, whatever, when they introduced it at these big events and things. But again, the only way we would probably start by not paying or giving the Grammy board what they deserve is not mentioning these things when you're announcing these rappers, not submitting your music, any of that, right? If you truly feel that the board is corrupt and things, then these artists should not submit their music, right, to this board, right? They should not submit their music to the board. And because all these people speaking up about it, how they snubbed and how they're corrupt and things, well man, if you do think they're corrupt and things, if you do that, then next time you put on a project, do not submit the the album, do not submit the project to them. Simple as. And sooner or later, if you start doing this, the board will realize that, oh, we're not getting any hip hop, rap, R&B sort of nominations in, we're not getting any of these musics, these projects submitted in. Why is that? Right, then maybe the light bulb will flicker in their heads, like, oh you know, we've been snubbing these people for so long, they've stopped submitting their music to us, right? And, you know, everyone should stand in solidarity of that. And in that time, or whatever, how long it takes, someone should come up with a new platform, you know, a new platform that will, you know, truly respect and honor, you know, these, you know, projects and these albums and things that, you know, the fans and things have, you know, grown to and loved, you know, and listened to over the last year or so. So that's how I feel about this, and that's how I feel like the industry should go about this, right? If you really truly and really feel like, you know, the Grammy board and the Academy board, Recording Academy, are corrupt, do not submit your projects, your music, your artistry going forward. Take a stance. Someone take a stance, all right? And all stand in solidarity, man. And I hope everybody would follow suit on that and make them realize that how big, you know, how big a culture, how big an industry hip-hop, rap, R&B is, you know. And, you know, we got to make them realize some way or the other, right? And, you know, hopefully in that time, someone can come up with a new idea, a new platform for artists to be, you know, recognized, you know, for one of the biggest, if not the biggest, culture and industry to be recognized. Yeah, that's all I've got to say about that, man. That's all I've got to say on that. Right, moving forward then, man, let's talk about what I've been watching this week. Some movies, man, you know, I've been watching over this last week or so. So, let's hit that shit, man, hit my movie drop.
Hey, bro, you seen that new film?
Yeah, man, so I watched a relatively new film over the weekend. It's one called The Tax Collector. I think it was by David Ayer. It stars Shia LaBeouf in one of the lead roles. And it's also to do with, you know, two gentlemen who are tax collectors for gangs in LA. And things go sideways, you know, when an old rival comes into town and threatens, you know, their livelihood, their family and things. So it's a classic sort of revenge sort of thriller. Think along the lines of your John Wick and Equalizer sort of thing. Even though it's got really bad reviews and ratings, if you like films like obviously The Equalizer and John Wick and, you know, things like that, then definitely you would like this. The bad reviews and ratings did not put me off of this, because I thought the trailer looked really cool, and you know, it's one of those films that, you know, I'm into that whole revenge thriller sort of, you know, genre. So yeah, I really did like this, despite the negative critical responses to it. Yeah, really dope movie. Definitely you know, recommend you guys to check it out. I did stream it somewhere, so you know, wherever you guys can stream it and things. You know, I can't remember the streaming platform. I think it was Rakuten or something, like Rakuten TV or something like that. But yeah, if you I had to pay a bit of money for it, I think. Yeah, so you know, whenever it's available or wherever you can find a stream for it, then yeah, make sure you guys go check that out. Tax Collector, 4 chilies out of 5 for me on a spiceometer, man. Quite spicy, quite dickle indeed. Yeah, that's all I've been watching this week. I've just been, you know, prodding along, watching The Wire. I'm coming to the end of season 3 now. It's really picking up. I do like that. Still carrying on with Scrubs. I'm coming to the end of season 3 on that as well. I see a lot of good talk about this new series, The Undoing. So that is next on my list. You know, once I finish these series and check out some new ones, I'll definitely you know, remind you guys of that. Right, let's talk about some gaming news, man. Hit my gaming drop.
Have you played that new Gumma? You mean game? That's what I said, Gumma.
And what would a gaming drop be without my nostalgic, ever so classic PlayStation drop? Right, yeah, let's talk about some game news then, right? So one good bit of news that is that, you know, console scalpers who, you know, claimed 1,000 next gen consoles have had their orders cancelled. So thank fuck for that. Some customers who only purchased one console were also impacted. So UK retailer Very has reportedly cancelled 1,000 Xbox Series X orders allegedly placed by a scalper ring. I think eBay had the same sort of thing. They shut down loads of scalpers and cancelled their orders as well. Eurogamer reports that the Scalper Group claimed this week that it secured over 1,000 Xbox Series X consoles from a very well-known online retailer. The scalping ring reportedly charges $29.99 a month to teach its members how to turn a profit into a resale market themselves. In an interview with Sky News, Very said the Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5 consoles listed on his website on Sunday were actually not for sale. As a result of a technical error, some people were able to place orders for the PS5 and Xbox Series X for a short time on Sunday. However, these items are not on sale, and affected customers who have received notice that the orders have been cancelled. They apologise for any confusion caused. Some customers who only purchased one console were also impacted. So it's also very unclear if they cancelled the orders because they were placed by a scalper ring or because the website actually didn't have the consoles in stock. They are working to refund the affected customers. Scalpers have been scooping up PS5s and Xbox Series X since the systems went up for pre-order earlier this year. On launch day, the Xbox Series X was going as high as $1,000. PS5 saw prices close to 2,000. But yeah, this is just one of the long line of things that, you know, scalpers need to get the fuck out of here. I mean, they need to be called out on their shit. And if you are a scalper and you've secured all of this stock and thing, you know, and you've prohibited and you've blocked other people from getting stock, man, then fuck you guys, man, because, you know, what do you need to do with 35 or 5 or 10 PlayStations and things or Xboxes, you know, when, you know, you got people, you got kids who've got, you got fathers, mothers, you know, people have siblings and kids who want, you know, they want to buy these gifts for their kids and, you know, for Christmas. It's just a shame, man. But moving on, let's talk a bit more about the PS5. So, one great feature of the PS5, which I'm still yet to get my hands on, is the activity cards. And these are the cards that really pop up and allow you to really do that quick resume feature that the Xbox Series X has and drops you right back into the game where you left off of, and it tells you what are your pending tasks and how far you are left to complete them. So yeah, really dope feature. Sony have come out and said that, you know, they've made these activity cards as a response to single player problems. So they say the activity cards that appear as part of the PS5 user interface were created by Sony in response to player complaints about single player gaming. A new report from Vice details an internal Sony document that the company used to explain its new activities and game help systems. The document reportedly begins with Sony explaining that single player is currently thriving and PlayStation owners regularly spend more time playing offline than online ones. I know I'm definitely one of them. To ensure offline games were better catered to, Sony had gathered some criticism of single player gaming which needed to be addressed on the PS5. The problems included players saying they don't play unless I have 2+3 hours because of being unsure of how long a game may ask of them, and that they forgot what I was doing in the game last time, and that it takes a lot of time to scan through long help videos when stuck. Players were also concerned about using social tools because of game spoilers. I definitely would be of that, because I remember when I was playing The Last of Us Part 2, and I can't remember what I was looking for. I think I was just looking for the collectibles, right? And this was before I started the game. Before I started it, first chapter in or something, and just before I started the game, I was just about to start it. I went onto YouTube and I typed in The Last of Us Part 2, and what popped down on the first suggestion box in the drop down box, it showed the death of Joel, you know, one of the main characters, and I was pissed off because I just didn't expect that. Because, you know, I spent a lot of time staying away from spoilers. I really didn't, even when I was visiting Twitter when I was playing the game. After that, I refrained from looking at any of The Last of Us Part 2 talk or reviews. But yeah, like stuff like that, man, you know, when you're looking for some collectible guides, videos and things like that, just ruins it, man. It just takes you out of it. I do agree. So yeah, in response, the document presents that the PS5 activity cards, as you may know, provide on-screen and card prompts for different aspects of the game, along with an estimated time for completion. So, example, when you're playing Spider-Man Miles Morales, you can see that a side quest will take 5 minutes, or a main quest will need 45 minutes. These cards will then take you directly to those activities. In addition, these cards can be used to provide game help, and PS5 features more tools to keep spoiler content under wraps so as not to ruin other players' experiences. Yeah, I think that's great. A great little addition there, a great little in-depth explanation there about these activity cards. And I can't wait to, you know, start using them. Let's jump onto some Cyberpunk 2077 news. So when I first read this headline, I thought, oh no, not again, because it had the word Cyberpunk 2077 and delay in there. So I think a lot of fans, you know, held their breath, you know, had a big gasp. But actually, it's not to do with the actual game, which is set to release next Thursday, I believe, December 10th, right? It's actually to do with the DLC for the game. So Cyberpunk 2077's DLC reveal is delayed until after launch. So CD Projekt Red has pushed back the reveal of Cyberpunk's DLC until after its December 10th release date due to the game's several delays. News was revealed that during the company's third quarter, he's asked about announcing and selling a season pass for the much anticipated game. Initial plan was to do it before release, but after the recent delay, we decided to wait for the release to provide gamers with the game and then start talking about future projects. They previously announced that Cyberpunk will get a DLC at least as large as The Witcher 3 and will have both free DLC alongside paid expansions. It stated it will reveal these plans before launch, but as previously mentioned, the multiple delays shifted the timing. You also talked about 2077's multiplayer, which is a standalone project and that won't likely be playable until after 2021, and how the team plans to share a bit more of that about that in the first quarter of next year. It's a separate dedicated production, a big production, and we plan and we think about it as a standalone product. Obviously, it's not entirely standalone as it comes from the universe of Cyberpunk and is very much related to the concept of the single player, right? And so, you know, multiplayer coming next year, and obviously the reveal of DLC also coming next year. But for now, we're going to get this full single player campaign, main campaign that is coming out next Thursday, December 10th. For Cyberpunk 2077. There are people streaming the game right now, so be aware of spoilers on Twitter, on Instagram, wherever you're getting your news and things from. So just be aware of that. Be cautious if you do not want the game ruined for you. And yeah, so I definitely won't be playing the game anytime soon. I think I'll wait for the PS5 version to come out. And and so obviously I'm going to try to keep away from the news from it for as much as I can. All right. But yeah, that wraps us up on the gaming side of things, man. So quite a short week in terms of music and news and things, and even gaming, really. One additional thing is that a new 007 game was announced by IO Interactive, the studio behind the Hitman series. So very interesting. I think we're going to get this next year. It's no tie-in to the movie No Time to Die. And this is a standalone release where it says you'll take control of your own 007 and customize and start from scratch and earn the 007 license. So this looks very interesting. I think the last 007 game I played was Tomorrow Never Dies on the PS1, which was a classic. definitely looking forward to more information on that. But yeah, that wraps us up for this week's episode, man. Episode 125, Not Always Screw You Podcast, man. Thank you guys for listening. I'm just going over an hour, man, when I thought it would be relatively short. But thank you guys for listening, man, as always, man. I'll be back here same time, same place next week with all the new music releases, news, gaming news, and what I've been watching and things. Until then, man, stay safe, stay blessed, man. It's your host, man, the boy with the most sauce, the boy with the most chutney, man. Sprinkle a bit of garam masala on top, man. The roti to your sack, the kichdi to your curry, the dal to your bhat, the samosa to your chutney, man. The garam to your masala, the powder to your bhaji. It's the Notorious Guji, aka Melanoza, episode 125, Notorious Guji podcast, man. We out here. Peace.
You're now tuned in to the spiciest podcast in the world. Live from your local cash and carry, the Notorious Guji podcast. Hand me some of that chutney.